Guys.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today. Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
We were talking about this earlier this morning. We know what Pedro put out there regarding Juan Soto.
That's right.
See what Adam Ottavino said about Juan Soto?
I did not.
He said there's definitely something up with him. I don't know what that means other than it's got to be something that is making him play the way he's playing look or making him look unhappy for some reason. I'm assuming that Adam Ottavino is pointing to.
Yeah, which is interesting. And the reason why I take what Adam Ottavino says seriously, and people probably laugh because it was just a reliever who bounces around. So there was someone who worked for the Mets who told me that his favorite person to talk to in the clubhouse was Adam Ottavino because he was so intellectual and so well-rounded that he loved talking to him. So when Adam Ottavino says something like that, it's not just somebody throwing some crap at the wall. This is a guy who thinks and is smart and all of those things.
So. Right, and he's been around both the Mets and the Yankees.
Indeed.
So there's a lot of credibility behind that. Like, just like I think there's credibility behind Bob Clappish and Michael Kay.
Yeah, I mean, it seems weird to me that he would want to be with the Yankees so badly that he's upset with being a Met after you saw his celebration in that hot tub and getting all the money and his family's happy. That seems odd to me. Maybe all things equal, he wanted to stay with the Yankees. I don't know, but for him to be, like, upset and not himself, that's a bridge too far. I would be annoyed if I were Alex Cohen or Steve Cohen or anybody in the organization if that were the case.
Yeah, but if Adam Ottavino says he thinks that there's something up.
I wish you would expound on that.
I mean, you got to bust it out of the box. He said, I think it goes without saying, especially when you're trying to set the tone for the team. You're considered a team leader. You're making that kind of money. You're that kind of player. And the reality is, I remember going to a Knicks game when I was a kid to watch Michael Jordan play, and they didn't watch the game. I watched Michael Jordan the entire game. The eyeballs are on you, basically. But he learned the lesson the hard way.
You know what they say about Juan Soto?
He's a human.
There's a human in there.
Yeah, there's a human in there.
Tommy and Tom's River, what's going on, Tommy?
Hey, Boomer and Geo, class of 2009, WFAN alumni here. Geo,
Hold on a second. Class of 2009, we're talking about an internship class, huh?
Correct.
All right. Now, were you spring, summer, winter? What were
I
you?
Was a, I was a spring, G. We did a lot of events at Buffalo Wild Wings as well together.
Wow, yes. I was doing the New Yorker sports rant there at Buffalo Wild Wings. That was great. Tommy, I'm sure if I saw you, I'd remember you. But I'm glad that you've called up here, and I'm glad that you're on the air with us.
Oh, yeah. So I'm calling real fast to let you know that I'm working on a Mets song called Kings of Queens, G.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to have it out this summer. Obviously, the Mets need some pep in their step, and I think we have a good song for them. But I'm calling really because all these people that are getting upset with Soto, G, they also got upset with Lindor. You guys just got to give him a chance. Give him a chance. He's going to be okay. Don't get down on him. Don't boo, because that didn't work for Lindor. So just keep the faith. You got to, you know, one pitch, like Boomer says, one pitch, one strike, one swing.
Yeah, Tommy, and Tommy's putting out songs. We got other guys promoting candle stores. I mean, we've just become one large billboard for the callers today. It's not so much the lack of production. It's the disinterest that he looks like he's playing with right now and the lack of hustle. So fans can put up with a guy scuffling a little bit, saying he'll break out of it. It's the lack of the Soto shuffle. It's the lack of the running things out. It's those things that are completely unacceptable that no one will ever have patience with, nor should they.
Yeah, that crazy Carl Ravitch was talking about that, too.
Yeah, he was.
Everybody all fired up that night.
Yeah, Carl Ravitch, known for his controversial takes.
Yes, he could not wait to just start ripping into Juan Soto.
Yeah, well, someone gave him that info, just like someone gave Bob Klapisch the info. People want to know stuff about Juan Soto, and they want it out there.
Right, but all of us as baseball fans, for the years that we have been baseball fans, we've seen this time and again. Some players come out of it, some players don't. Francisco Lindor is the player that came out of it. Pete Alonso, at least at the beginning of this year, came out of what was a poor last year and was off to a great start this year. Now he started to slow down a little bit. I mean, these things happen with these players. You know why, G?
Because there's a human in there.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. And it's something we tend to forget and don't focus on enough, knowing that there's a human inside of that man. Eddie, do you remember this Tommy spring of 2009?
I do not.
Yeah, no. Neither do I.
Just wasn't a memorable guy then, huh?
Apparently not. I mean, I'm sure if I saw him, because if I did a bunch of Buffalo Wild Wings things with him, like I remember the guys that I worked with on that.
And what was that? What was that called?
It was called the New Yorker Sports Rant.
Oh,
so,
you're ranting and raving Wild Wings?
No, I was not ranting and raving. So what I did was I sat up there and people would show up to the restaurant and they would do their rant and I would sit there and judge it. And we did like a live show inside of the Buffalo Wild Wings. And we got good guests along the way, too. Like, I remember we had Doc Gooden show up once, which was a thrill for me back then. That was really cool. Yeah, it ended up working out well. I was a producer at the time, and they asked me to do it, and it gave me, like, some hosting chops. So I'm thankful for
perhaps
that.
Perhaps he was a promotions intern, since he worked those events.
That is true. He could have been that, too. Yeah, Class of 09. And Johnny, that was, like, back then, that was the golden age of promotions. That's with Troy and John D'Alessandro. As much as, like, and that's no knock on anybody else. It's just those two guys were just like frickin' frack.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like the jobs that they were just so much fun to be around.
And they were always together.
Yeah, exactly.
They were like Abbott and Costello.
They really were. And I miss those guys. We have a great staff here. And Jess is awesome. And Emily is awesome. And I think that Emily probably did a way better job than Troy or John ever did. But as far as like just the hanging out with dudes, you know, dudes and dogs and damage and everything, like,
dudes, dogs, damage and athletes. Yeah. I mean, everybody was, they were all over us.
Yeah. So he said spring 2009.
Yeah.
That was, we were still in Astoria then.
Wow.
We moved here October of 2009.
Wow, man, that is an old school intern there.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today. Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The Mets lose again last night. The Yankees win. The Yankees have been unbelievable offensively. They are beating teams up. They're beating good teams up. But, you know, this is a team that, of course, going to the World Series last year and all the struggles that the big stars have had, meaning Aaron Judge in the postseason, no one seems to want to give them credit at all during a regular season, but they deserve it right now. And the moves that Brian Cashman has made to pivot off of Juan Soto have been really, really good. So they are rolling. They get a great performance by Will Warren last night. They're starting pitching with Max Fried leading the charge there has been very, very good. So they're just quietly winning. Their offense is off the charts. Better than last year statistically up until this point, which is hard to believe. And then you got the direct opposite right now. The Mets are in one of these funks, one of these valleys. I'm not freaking out. I'm not doing it again after last year. I wrote that team off 10 ways till Sunday, and they came back and gave us one of the most amazing, crazy ends of the year. So it's frustrating as hell. And the fact that the Phillies keep winning and they're beating up the Rockies, and now you've got back-to-back games where you can't get any runners in for scoring position. You get Walker Buehler thrown out of this game in the third inning, and you can't do a damn thing with the bullpen there for the Red Sox is annoying. But this is not freak-out time. Still, what, 9 games over .500? Yeah. Going to be okay.
I think we're 9 games under .500 this time last year.
Maybe.
And we were talking about the trade deadline and who we're getting rid of.
Yes. Exactly.
And that we were going to acquire Juan Soto in the offseason. So, we got half of that right. So
yeah.
we were talking about acquiring Juan Soto as a free agent, which we did. And and fortunately for us, that whole trade deadline thing never manifested itself as the team turned its season around. And it was led by Francisco Lindor. You know, he's still the engine that makes this whole thing go. And if he's not hot and he's not getting on base and he's not doing his thing and he's not driving in runs or hitting home runs, and this team is a home run hitting team and they're not hitting home runs right now. That's the other thing. And it's frustrating to watch it because they're getting good pitching. I mean, even Senga wasn't great the other night early on.
But he settled down.
But he did settle down, and he gave him six innings.
Yeah, I mean, he kept him in the game, and if they had a regular offense at this point, not a putrid one, they could have won that game.
Yeah.
Last night, two runs. Could have won that game. Didn't, as they get shut out. So
you know, you can bring these in when we're not on TV. I don't know why you bring them in when we're on TV.
All right, here we go.
Oh, yeah, Al brings them in when we're on TV, yes, too.
Does he?
Yeah. Well, oh, okay. But he's always looking for
he's
a little bit of shine.
He's looking for some shine, and he's looking for a little bit of FaceTime.
He is. I don't know if Riscona looks for FaceTime.
Yeah, I was just too busy labeling chapters, doing my other duties here as the producer this morning. So.
Yeah. He just brings it in. At least
Boomer doesn't miss an opportunity to, you know, dig at me. Does not miss an opportunity. Well,
welcome to the club, man. You know?
Yeah.
It means you're in.
Yeah, you're in. That's right.
It means you're in. What was it we were talking at the break? What did Pedro Martinez say about Juan Soto?
Oh, yeah. Pedro Martinez put out on X. He put a post out on X.
I can find it.
Then. And he basically said that you forget that there's a human inside the uniform. And one point in time, he was the highest paid player, and it took him a while to adjust.
You forget there's a human in there?
And how young Juan Soto is.
He didn't do that, did he?
Yeah, he did.
He said there's a... All right, here it is. I got it. He goes, on Juan Soto, I was once the highest paid player and it took me a while to adjust. Nobody thinks about the human inside the uniform.
Yeah, I was twice the highest paid player. Nobody thought about me as a human.
There are things that can get you distracted. We forget
people
about
throwing stuff at me.
Because we forget about how young he is.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's been playing Major League Baseball since he was 18 years old.
Yeah.
Winning World Series, hitting in the clutch. I mean, I don't want to hear how young he is. I mean, is he implying that something is going on off the field?
I don't know, but no, I think he's saying that he's the highest paid player in baseball. He has to adjust to that. Maybe he's trying too hard. But then again, you and I would say he's not trying hard enough.
Yeah, I mean, and many Mets fans that have been watching him. I mean, I don't know.
Look at this one.
Listen, as we're watching him loaf again. I don't know. I mean, Pedro is a legend. The guy is great. I really like him on television, but I don't want to hear, let's not think about it. Let's forget about the human inside. I mean, come on, Pedro. And you might be able to have something in common with Juan Soto. When you're talking to fans, nobody's thinking about that. What we're seeing is a human inside there who's making $750 million to play like turds. Come on. A human inside?
And just hustle. You know, at least hustle.
God.
Don't dog it out of the box. Even though that's the thing that many players do. I mean, you got to set the standard. You got to be the leader. And you got to be the example that everybody's going to follow.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm totally on board with him turning this whole thing around and having a good year by the end of it. I'm in no way thinking this is going to be his Mets career. This is going to be what we see for the rest of the year. But right now, I mean, you can't ignore it anymore. Like, this is not one of those things where you could say that, hey, he's been fine. It's just kind of everybody's hyper-focusing on it. No, he hasn't been fine. Doesn't mean he's not going to turn it around, but I don't want to hear from uber-positive Mets fan that everything's okay, because it's not.
He's kind of been mediocre, and then, you know, obviously this last weekend happened, and he hasn't been great in this series against Boston either. I mean, he's hit the ball, but again, we still see a little bit of the loafing, and when you're not hitting the ball, when men are in scoring position, then all of a sudden everybody's going to be frustrated. And I think that's exactly kind of like where we are as Mets fans right now. We're a little bit frustrated. And as Brandon Nimmo said, and also Carlos Mendoza said, hey, these things happen. We go through it. Everybody goes through it. Hell, the Dodgers have been going through it.
That's right. Hey, Eddie, do you have the BT breakdown of all the stats there for people to feel better about Juan Soto? You know, BT did a deep dive.
We thought this May was going to be like he got off to a great start.
He did get off to a great start. But just so you know, I mean, there was some things that were going in there, and it was really, really impressive what BT was looking at and doing his deep dive into the stats. So
I'm looking at a spray chart going oppo.
Yeah, looking at his
86%. Fielding run value and 95% range. His whiff rate and his K rate is still 88th percentile and 92%. I'm looking at a spray chart going oppo. 92nd percentile average exit velo, 85% hard hit rate, 95% squared up rate, 92% chase rate, 95% walk rate, 84% K rate.
Holy Christ.
Yeah, so if you're worried about him, there you go. Just you'll hear that and you're like, you know what? He's going to break out of it.
All right, here's a spray chart.
Spray chart. Soto spray chart.
You got a spray chart?
Yeah.
Baseball hitting spray chart, sabermetrics.
Right.
What am I looking at here?
Yeah.
This one here?
I don't know.
That's a spray chart.
I saw my spray chart at the fertility doctor.
I saw your spray chart on our softball team. You just kept going hitting at the third base.
Right. That wasn't much of a spray chart. I wasn't spraying it anywhere.
Yeah.
But grounders to third. Excuse me.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today. Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
As the day went on yesterday and more Juan Soto reports were out there about how he's unhappy and he's glum, as Michael Kay said, and Bob Clappage put out all this stuff. I was hoping Juan Soto would come out last night and hit three home runs. I was hoping he'd be sprinting around the bases or hit a ball in the gap and get a triple, show everybody that there is nothing to worry about and this is a silly conversation. Well, the opposite happened. The Mets lost. The team couldn't hit with runners in scoring position again, and we have another Juan Soto didn't bust it out of the box because he thought he hit a home run. He did not hit a home run, and then he was standing there on first base. Stole second, which I guess is a little bit of a consolation prize, but man, Carlos Mendoza said after the game, we got to talk to him about hustle. If the manager is saying it, that means it's a real problem, and there are people in the Mets organization that are telling Bob Clappish, Michael Kay, and others that this is going on. So don't get on the people that are reporting it. Get on the people in the Mets organization that are telling them that, because I trust that those guys are delivering the right message. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. We wake up May 20th and the Phillies are in first place.
Yep.
All right, but that doesn't really mean much. I mean, we got a long way to go. There's a lot of things that are going to happen. I'm not going to overreact to all this stuff, but I'm not going to get on Michael Kay or Bob Clappish. They're just reporting what people are telling them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do a good job. They're around the teams. We're not around the teams. I can only make my observations from, you know, being away from the team, reading all the things that people are writing, watching his body language, watch how he is playing, talking about his contract. And by the way, I did not bring up the private jet thing. You know, Carl Ravitch brought up the private jet thing, and we were discussing the fact that, you know, and that had all been reported. So Carl wasn't getting inside information or anything. It already had been reported as part of the perks that the Mets gave Juan Soto to get him over there and get him away from the Yankees. Hey, look, I would go to the Mets, too, if they paid me $765 million, gave me a private jet for my family, and gave me a suite and then four seats behind home plate. Hell yeah, I would go there. I mean, like, you'd be an idiot not to go there. But the problem is that, you know, when you're loafing out of the box and you're doing all this stuff, I guess you're forgetting how much money that they're paying you and what that looks like to the fan base, especially if you are not really performing to the expectations of what we all have for you. Now, look, I still think that he's got so much time to get this thing right, and he will get it right eventually. He's too good of a hitter not to get it right, that he is going through what I would call right now probably a little bit of adversity, and he's going to have to deal with it. He's going to have to, and this, and by the way, welcome to the Mets. Welcome to New York, you know, where you are not insulated, especially when you make the amount of money that you're making. I've said repeatedly on this show that I would have never paid him this much money. I know that the Yankees didn't want to pay him and give him all the perks that the Mets ended up giving him. So I think it's crazy because I don't believe that a player, unless your name is Shohei Ohtani, is worth this kind of money. But that's you know, his right to go make it, and I'm glad he did, and good for him because he's doing what he should be doing for the rest of his players, and that's raising the bar for everybody else, which he obviously has done here. But you know, the laziness out of the box, the thinking that there are home runs or base hits and he's sitting there admiring these shots, you know, that's not going to play well with the fan base, especially with the amount of money and all the perks that he's getting.
Yeah, and speaking of the perks with the private jet, yes, he flies with the team, but he does get that perk for his family when they want to attend road games. So that, I mean, that is a thing. So
Now, is this all outside the luxury tax? I mean, like, or did the Mets have to pay luxury tax on that, too? And do they get hotel rooms, and do they get car services?
Yeah, I don't think that's part of it.
Get security? I mean, like, I see where, you know, the entire family's got security now. I mean, you would think they signed Jesus Christ here.
Yeah, well, he's not playing like it.
Well, I mean, but it's amazing to me, and honestly, I wanted him 4 years ago. I said that 1,000 times, and Jerry Recco basically was bouncing around the studio talking about how much I love Juan Soto, and I do. Mm. But, I mean, you know, I want to see a performance that is commensurate with the amount of money, the amount of perks and everything else that he is receiving. Now, I want to give him time, and I don't want to really jump down his throat too much, but the fact of the matter is the Met fan, and plus it's all being amplified, too, by the disdain from the Yankee fans, and because they just came through the Subway Series, which was a nightmare for him.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten on some of the, you know, the baseball insiders during free agency times where nothing's going on and they have to come up with stories and they put things out there and we have fun with like the maybe or could be's and all that stuff that happens. But when someone's reporting during the season and someone who's been around the game as long as Bob Clappage has been around the game, I mean, my goodness, he has covered baseball for decades. He's written books. Somebody that he trusts in the Mets organization told Bob Clappage that management is concerned about his happiness level. That clearly happened. There's no way that he's putting that out there without getting it from a legitimate source. Now, that doesn't mean that he's unhappy, but that means that someone in the organization at a high level is concerned about his happiness. That is weird. That is a strange thing. You get this massive contract. You get everything you want for your family. I mean, okay, you're not hitting it the way that everybody expected early on, but he's been through slumps before. The team is still playing relatively well. They've been in first place for most of the year except for right now. What's going on where he would be unhappy in the clubhouse?
I have no
idea.
He's
moping around to the point that there's people in the organization that are worried about that? That, to me, is the most concerning thing.
I mean, remember the day he signed the contract? He looked like he was happy as hell.
He was in a hot tub and doing that whole thing.
Right,
his
exactly.
His brother was popping a champagne and everything else.
Right, and the other part of this is that pretty much as soon as the Yankees traded for him, it was like everybody knew that he was going to end up with the Mets.
Well, that was the talk, is that, yeah, well, you know, it was rent in the Bronx, buy in Queens. That was the line. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately, like I said yesterday, and I'll say it again, you know, for him, the Subway Series was just a reminder of not hitting behind Aaron Judge and watching his replacements, four players, in fact, you know, have huge impacts on the three games and the two games that the Yankees beat them up. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a mental hurdle that he's going through right now, and everybody on the Yankee side is going to amplify it, understandable. And the only way that he's going to shut everybody up is to go on a tear and to hustle and to make plays and to run out, out of the batter's box and don't take anything for granted and just don't pull a Gleyber Torres, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and this is twice, and then CBS Sports Network is showing it right now. I mean, he thinks it's a home run. It's not. He ends up staring at it, admiring it, and then ending up on first base. And when you come off of the series that you had and the out that you made the previous day against the Yankees, I mean, people are going to talk about this. So, of course, they ask him about that after the game. He says, if you watched, I hustled the whole time. Carlos Mendoza, when asked about it, said, yeah, it's something we need to address with him, because clearly you do. I mean,
So if he said, I hustled the whole time, and then Carlos Mendoza says, we need to talk to him, there's something amiss there.
Well, of course.
I mean, I'm not happy about this. I want him to do well. I want them to do well. I'm rooting for them. I'm a Met fan.
Well, that's why I wanted him to go off last night. I really wanted the conversation to be this morning, and I was rooting hard for him and everyone he's had pats. I did not want the conversation to be this morning, where more ammo was given to the Juan Soto haters. But there, as you mentioned, there's still so much time for him to have a spectacular season, for the Mets to accomplish the goals that they set out at the beginning of the season. But right now, yes, this is just like last year, where things got off to a really bad start. There were some real issues there.
How about Francisco Lindor the second half of last year?
Was unbelievable.
We're not even remotely close to that yet.
Right. Vaulted himself into the conversation for the MVP. He was awesome. You can't in a baseball season, you know, make these determinations early. But there's no doubt that right now something is
Askew. I don't know what it is, man. Just get it going and get over with it. I mean, the fact of the matter is they're dumping millions into your bank account every single couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I mean, your family's taken care of. They're flying on private jets. They got security around them. It's insane.
I mean, he really is unhappy or moping around or melancholy in the clubhouse. I mean, that's insane. I mean, that really is insane. You got every... Now, I know you're not hitting the way you want to, Juan. Hey, you'll get there. And maybe, you know, you put the nose to the grindstone, you get out there, you start whacking the ball around again. But if you're really... And I know that money doesn't cure all ills, but my goodness, could your life be any better than it is right now?
It doesn't... Well, yeah, I mean...
You could be hitting a little better. That's it.
His professional life is great.
Yeah.
And it should be great. Gets treated like gold. You can't ask for any more than that. It's just amazing to me that all of this is out there right now. And again, I'm not going to sit here and doubt Michael Kay. I'm not going to doubt Bob Clappish, as you pointed out. Like, what does Bob Clappish gain from making something up?
Well, I mean, at this point in his career, he doesn't need to do that. He's not someone who's trying to make a name for himself or throwing stuff against the wall to get clicks and taking, you know, risks. He's talked to people. He's got sources throughout baseball. Now, whether or not you want to believe the people that are in the Mets organization that are concerned or think that their concerns are valid or not, that's a different conversation. But I believe that there are people in that organization that are concerned about his, like, the way he looks, and his demeanor is different. I mean, so we could have, if he wasn't on the Yankees last year, we could have had the conversation where we didn't watch him for 162. We didn't see him really. We only saw him for a couple series, Washington, San Diego, highlights, whatever. But we saw him as a Yankee for many, many games. And there's no doubt that early on, because let's just talk about early on, in April and May, that Juan Soto as a Yankee had a lot more energy throughout the game than he does in a Mets uniform. That is a fact.
He also had more success.
Right. So those things go hand in hand.
They do go hand in hand. By the way, you know, up through 2025, through this year, he'll have made $205 million. And he's got 14 years left. The guy's going to make close to $1 billion playing baseball if you throw in all the perks. And I'm assuming the perks go for 15 years.
I would assume so.
I would think so, too. I mean, I don't even know how much money that would add up to. You know, the four tickets behind home plate, the suite, the private jet, the security service.
Well, the suite's got to be close to $1 million a year.
I mean, so this goes to show you that it's not just about baseball. I you know, the business around Citi Field is huge. And he is the linchpin to the success of Steve Cohen being able to develop and bring in a casino around Citi Field.
I do want to get into the baseball stuff a little bit, BT. I did not have the chance to talk about Soto yet again yesterday. I know we did it all day Monday, but that was more reacting from the Subway Series, not about the lack of hustle and all this stuff. And you asked me on Monday if I could go back and do the contract again, would I? And you thought for sure that I would say yes, 100%. And I didn't, right? I wasn't sure. I was like, I don't know. What was happening is, now that I had a day to digest it and think about it, the insecurities were creeping in. And I don't want that to happen anymore. And it's not going to happen. Coming off of the series with the Yankees, and I was there Friday night, so I felt the force of the Yankee fan. I saw Soto not embarrass himself, but obviously not have anywhere near the impact that I expected. The insecurity started to creep in. Then you heard all the stuff about, oh, he wants to be with the Yankees. Michael Kay comes out with his report.
Mm-hmm. Bob Klapisch had something.
Klapisch. We went over the Klapisch article. To me, now it's gone overboard the other way. And I think that it was feasting on, the reason why the story may have had some legs, at least from my perspective, it was feasting on the insecurities of Met fans. Worst fears coming true. The guy signed with us, but he misses the Yankees and wants to be there. And maybe there is some truth to that early on. But think about this. How many relationships have we broken up in or whatever or moved on where it was like, oh, man, I missed that or missed this. And then eventually you move on, you realize, you know what? It wasn't that good. Or there's a reason why I made this decision. I'm not trying to minimize the Yankees. I'm giving you an example. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why Juan Soto made that decision. Even if it's for his family, there's a reason why he made it. There's a reason why he felt comfortable. It wasn't just because his mother said so. Like maybe his mom said, hey, we prefer this because of the family. Said, look, all the reasons why he chose the Mets, he came ultimately to that decision. And could he be questioning it? Could he be doubting it maybe? Could he not be feeling himself just yet? Sure. Eventually, he will, because he's one bleeping Soto. And they're playing a game of baseball in which he happens to be terrific at. So I'm not letting the insecurities creep in, and I'm trusting that eventually, now I can't say when that's going to happen, eventually Juan Soto is going to look like Juan Soto, and all this stuff, which I believe is legitimate, is all going to be forgotten and be for naught. Like, there are some ridiculous things going on. Trade Juan Soto to the Yankees, or Soto, you know what I mean? Like, all this stuff.
I don't want him.
Yeah, well, of course
I would turn that down.
It's a different perspective from the Yankee fan.
Yep.
I mean, Soto's the one guy, the Yankee fans are, you know, they don't want him back. Soto doesn't want to be with the Mets. Mets fans maybe want him out soon. Like, it's just chaos right now. But ultimately, if you seep through those insecurities, acknowledge them, and understand they're real, and I really do believe that that's where it was coming from, a place of insecurity. Like, come on, this is the one guy that we stole away from the Yankees that we want to be ours, and now he misses them? Like, that's that, you don't want to hear that. But I don't think that that's the true case. And I think ultimately Soto will be just fine. Also, on top of that, I think the stuff about the hustle, to me, has been overblown. I don't even care about that. Just make impact hits, go hit home runs. I don't care about the hustle.
That's where I'm going, because I think the other stuff is going to resolve itself. So, use the word chaos before. And, you know, it's one thing for a story maybe to have more legs than it should. We've been through that song and dance with certain things in this city for sure. I think the reason it's morphed into chaos is because he's making it worse. If his body language was better, and if he was actually hustling down the line, we would not have chaos. We might have a little bit of a situation. We might have some questions. It wouldn't overrun the news cycle, which it has for the last 2 days, and that's what he can control. You know, you were out yesterday, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, I say this all the time. People are probably tired of hearing it. Hey, control what you can control. I tell my kids that from, you know, the first time they could really understand what Daddy was saying. And even at their age now, I think sometimes they still don't understand it, which drives me nuts because I say it all the time. Control what you can control. Well, all right, you know, if the teacher is this, well, you can't control that. Up makes a bad call, can't control it. How hard you run, yep. How long you study, yep, you can control that. You know, do you make your bet? Yep, I can control that. So what Juan Soto can control, he's got to start controlling, because once he does that, then I think the other stuff dissipates.
Right, but the guy's not,
I really do.
He's not Pete Rose. I mean, give me the prime example. There are two examples that people are hanging on to as far as the lack of hustle. By the way,
talking about the Sunday night play with, up to the right of DJ LeMahieu, obviously out of the box the other night. Right, well, that was the one, and then of course off the monster.
Correct. So those two. But before we even get into that, did we once last year? Now I'm not saying that we watch every second of every pitch for both games, especially during the summer. Take some time off, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Was it once? Refresh my memory. Ever an issue about Juan Soto and hustle with the Yankees last year?
No, but because the production was phenomenal,
okay,
and you can put up with that stuff. But that's why we didn't get too mad about with Torres. But then he started becoming a 250 hitter.
But
like Labor, you got to start running.
But my point is that it's not like Juan Soto has a history of not hustling. This is who Juan Soto is. I don't need him to bust it out of the box, especially on a ball that he thinks is gone.
It's
now,
a bad look, Sal. Yeah,
it's a bad look because of what happened the night before.
Exactly.
But even that, I can come. Like, I've seen plenty of players before who I don't think are hustling. Head down.
We've seen it with Vientos this year.
You've seen, early on, with the Marlins series.
Remember that? Yeah, we talked about that.
So to me, that's a little different than what I saw Sunday night. Now, you know, in real time, before they even play the Red Sox, in real time, I was like, I don't have a big issue with the Soto play. He hit the ball. You know, it was a half-ass swing.
Yeah.
It was pretty hard, but whatever. And I think it was more just like he was frustrated with himself with the at-bat. And then he realized almost immediately, like he didn't dog it out of the box and walk down the line. He realized midway through, if not immediately, I got to start running here. And he did. Okay, was it the best thing? No, but I don't think it was a big deal. The Boston game, and again, I'm not making an excuse. I'm just telling you how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
He hit a ball that he thought was gone, and it hit off the wall. He should have been at second. Here's also what shows
me. I know he stole second, but that's not the point, though.
No, it's not, but it does show me that his head's in the right place because he knows. Like, people had issue with him saying afterward, no, I don't think it's an issue. He knows what he did wrong. And if there is a real problem there, I know that Carlos Mendoza is going to be the right guy to fix it. But I don't see a lack of hustle problem with Soto. I see a lack of comfort, a lack of production, a struggling problem.
Okay.
I don't think it's a lack of hustle.
Okay, now think about this. Sal might not think there's a lack of hustle. I happen to do, but say if I agreed with you, then Brandon might not think there's a lack of hustle, but Mendoza does. He said it. He said, yep, I see it. We're going to have to talk to him. So to me, when the manager, and I gave him a lot of credit for handling that yesterday, like there were two ways to go. He's fine. Or, hey, that's basically you got to be better. And I thought Mendoza showed why he's probably going to be here for a long time and be a very good manager because he owned it. He was transparent. Don't lie to us, man. And I didn't hear the open to Evan and Tiki show yesterday. So when I got in the car, I had to make a call. But I saw some things on social, and that was Evan's reaction, and I agree. You know, Evan's like, you can't lie to us. Like, when you try to lie to us about something that is so patently offensive or true, and when you don't hustle, that is offensive for the outrageous prices that we pay, you can't have it. So I would have preferred that Soto said, hey, you know, just almost shows some vulnerability, but he never does that. He's very robotic, which is fine. That's part of his greatness from a hitting perspective. But I was concerned, Sal, whether the noise was too much and unfair. There was noise going into the first game against the Red Sox based on what he did out of the box on the base hit, or almost hit up the middle with DJ when he snagged it, right? You would think just common sense, human nature says, all right, I got to wake up a little bit here. I can't will a ball over the fence, but damn it, I can hustle down the line. And he still didn't do it. That's not good.
But it is a unique.
That doesn't look good.
It is a unique circumstance where he hammered the ball off the monster. Even Mendoza, who said, I got to talk to him, said that in that spot, he thought he got it. And like it wasn't, to me, that was just an error in judgment as opposed to a lack of hustle from Soto.
And Pete did the same thing.
Yeah.
And then Pete got thrown out at second base.
Yeah, so did anybody. Anybody ripping on Pete Alonso for it?
No. Oh. But we did rip him on the throws and the flip to first base. And Pete's also got more equity here.
Right now,
Juan Soto's a slightly above average player for the New York Mets.
Well,
Pete Alonso broke the rookie home run record with 53 bombs.
But those are two different things.
I know they are, but he's got some equity is all I'm saying.
But my point is that, yes, you can criticize him for his production. That's what I have been first, more so than anybody else. Criticizing him for lack of hustle to me is just piling on and unnecessary. We can see it two different ways.
But do you think it's unfair for us to do that?
I think it
or
comes
unnecessary because those are two very different things.
Why are we piling on Pete Alonso?
Maybe you should.
Okay, fair enough. Then I'm not going to get on him again. I think he made a mistake. But if we're going to get on Juan Soto for it, why not Pete Alonso? then every player that you watch every single night better be busting their hump out of that batter's box. And they don't do it.
I know.
And it's okay. Certain times it's glaring. Certain times it's necessary. For me, it's not necessary with Juan Soto. And I think these were two examples that had circumstance behind it. That's all that I'm
saying. Listen, I get it. And we obviously have different views on this, and that's fine. Yeah. I think that to me, you know, my consistency with this is I used to just eviscerate Gleyber Torres. He used to drive me nuts. You know, I just
he did it repeatedly.
I know. I got no tolerance for lack of effort. I understand, you know, sports are hard. We simplified on the radio. Come on, hit a home run. Why are you hitting 230? Because it's hard. That's why I'm hitting 230, okay? We really know that. When we actually look at it intellectually, it is very hard what all these guys try to do. Yo, Jalen Brunson, we love you, but, you know, you shot 4-for-17. Why? I don't know, because I had a 6'6 defender, and they were draping a double team on me, and they move like the wind, and they jump out of the gym. That's why. I get it. But you can truly control effort. And the one thing about Juan Soto, Sal, is that, you know, he's got to be aware that the Met fan, they saw every night what he did for the Yankees. They saw it. And, I mean, I don't really think that he pimped too often without it going over the fence. But when you're hitting 246, whatever it might be, and I do believe he's going to be better. I think we all do. Much better. It's been a lackluster presentation of your level of engagement and your level of, at least perceived, to be fair, perceived happiness. You got to change the narrative. And the first way you do that is by getting those people who are jumping in now, you know, ready to stone you in the court of public opinion. Oh, he doesn't even run now. Just run, and the noise is going to get more quiet.
No question about it. Unfortunate timing. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but I just saw it differently.
Alex in New Jersey. Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. What's up, dude?
What's up?
Good. Listen, I was going to call and rip on Soto, but after being scolded by Positive Tommy, I think I'm going to approach this different and offer a solution for him. If
hold
you guys
on. Before you continue, did he scold you after you called in? Like, did you call in and he scold you, or was it through the radio? Like, how did the scolding occur?
No, it definitely was through the radio and I asked for it, but nonetheless, I got scolded.
All right. Well, listen, Tommy, you're changing lives because the scolding clearly changed Alex. Go ahead. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you. And, Icky, this may bother you, but you got to listen.
All right, I will.
A ginger legend. I think it's time for you to grow your nose hairs and ear hairs and maybe not take a shower until Soto starts getting hot. That's the solution.
Wow. No, Alex. No. You know what? I'm over. I got to tell you, Pete is a homegrown Met. I've been through a lot with Pete. I'm over bailing people out.
He already got paid a little bit, too.
So. He did, and I'm not doing anything for Pete this year, and for the most part, he's been okay. Juan Soto's done nothing for us. How about he do something for me before I do something for him? Part of why I grew the hair out for Pete is he did a lot for us as Met fans, and I wanted to show loyalty to my belief he needed a contract extension. Juan Soto, other than signing the contract and getting the $785 million, what the hell's he done for me?
There was ownership. There was fandom that was well-established and solidified because Pete Alonso started out his career fantastic, had clutch moments throughout, and you're just waiting for him to earn his due. Juan Soto hasn't done any of that yet, so he's not getting any hair growth or ear growth.
No.
Definitely not beard or anything like that. So, sorry, Juan. Figure it out yourself.
You know what I'll do with
Evan's
for Juan?
Evan's not helping you.
No. The only thing I'll do is I'll go to Met games and cheer you like a sheep. That's the only thing I'll do. Mm-hmm. All right? But I'll tell you this, Juan. Have five amazing years. Have five incredible years. And when you and Scott are thinking about using your opt-out and the Mets are debating, should we override the opt-out by paying him more money, let you be so good that I come on the radio and I scream, you gotta give him the money to keep him, and I'm gonna grow my hair out till you do it. But until then, no. You do stuff for us as Met fans, like produce at a high level. Todd is calling from Meriden, Connecticut. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Evan, how you doing?
What's up, We're man? Good. What's up?
Hey, Tiki, big fan.
Thank you.
This whole year, like the Met, this is more of a Met thing than just Soto, but we really, outside of Pete and Lindor, haven't hit all year long, you know? And we could be a 500 team without this pitching staff. Any chance, Mendoza changes that lineup?
You're talking about the top three in the lineup? Because the other part of the lineup he has made changes to. Right. Like, for example, in tonight's game, he flip-flopped McNeil and Beatty. We've seen 4-5 change a lot. Are you talking about specifically the top three guys in the order that's remained the same all year?
Yeah, like, because I don't really like Nimmo in the cleanup spot. I mean, maybe Soto 3, Pete go back to 4 since he's not on fire anymore.
Here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you this.
Yeah, how would you do this, Evan? I know you probably are pro Lindor, Soto, Alonso, but let's just say you had to change it. How would you ideally set up the Mets lineup?
Well, there are a couple of rules. Let's follow the rules. Rule number one is Lindor, Soto, Alonso. You could change the order, which I'll be more than happy to discuss. Mm-hmm. They're batting in the first inning. They are your top three hitters. If you change that, you're making a huge mistake. There is nobody in this lineup that deserves to break into the top three in this lineup. Not Nimmo, not Vientos, not Acuna when he plays, not Beatty, not Alvarez, no one. Mm. So to have this discussion and be fair, we have to understand that Lindor, Soto, and Alonso, in whatever order you want, and we can change that, I'll give you an idea in a second, need to hit 1-2-3. Because there's no one else that deserves that. Nobody. Yeah. It's not even close. So what I would consider doing, and this is going to sound extreme, Tiki, but I do say things sometimes that at first sound extreme, and then you realize how brilliant it is, a la the Giants should sign Aaron Rodgers. January 6th, 2025, WFA and Evan and Tiki. Said it on the air, got ridiculed by some of my coworkers, and then what happens a month later? Everybody's screaming Aaron Rodgers to the Giants.
Yeah.
So I'm prefacing that.
And then the Giants don't do that and sign Russell Wilson.
That's right. I would consider leading off Juan Soto, and I would bat Alonso 2 and Lindor 3. I would do that for two reasons. Number one, right now I need Juan Soto to just get on base. Relax, bro. Yeah, you're making a lot of money. You're my leadoff hitter. And oh, by the way, you're stealing bases. You've already stolen 6. Let's go. Get on base. I don't care how you get on base. I don't care if it's a double, a home run, a single, a walk, a hit batsman. Get on base. I think sometimes leading off can, in a weird way, take the pressure off. Number two, I got Pete Alonso batting second. I'm going to give him something he's never had in his career, including this year, protection. No one's protected this guy.
Right.
I'm giving him Lindor, and then, yes, I've got Lindor 3. Now, the negative is, hey, but Evan, look at Lindor's numbers since they moved him to the leadoff hole. I think that's disrespectful to Lindor to think that the only reason he got hot and was an MVP candidate was because they moved him to the leadoff hitter. He's a tremendous player. He could bat him anywhere he'll hit.
But it was coincidental.
Okay, well, what about now?
A lot of stuff happened, obviously, last year at that particular juncture in the season for the Mets. But right now, I mean, he's still pretty damn good leading off.
I agree. He's also won for his last 23.
Right. He's been bad the last couple of games, but it's still. I can see what you're saying. He's going to be a good hitter regardless of where you put him, but it just feels so comforting to have him in the leadoff spot.
Okay, so if you want to keep him in the leadoff spot, you want to flip flop Soto and Alonso, like I may have suggested at the beginning of the season.
Well, then Soto doesn't necessarily protect Alonso. At least not how he's playing right now.
I think he still would, though, because I still think he's Juan Soto. Mm. I think Pete would get more pitches to hitting in front of Soto than he does now, where he's got either Mark Vientos or Brandon Nimmo protecting him. What a swerve it would be after Mendy spiked the football on my face multiple times that he actually has to give in and bat Pete Alonso second. That would be the ultimate.
Right, because that was the question that Mendy responded to you when we asked him before the season. He said no.
No, he said no. And look, things change. Yeah, but to the caller's point, because it's a great question that a lot of Met fans are talking about, do you want to change the lineup? Like, the Yankee lineup is so funny to me. In fact, it just came out. They're taking on Patrick Corbin. Did you see the weird stat about Patrick Corbin?
No.
When Donald Trump is president, Patrick Corbin is a really good, competent pitcher. As soon as Trump is not president, he sucks.
Oh, my God.
I know. And I don't know Corbin's political affiliation. I'm just giving you numbers.
What does that have to do with anything?
Do you want me to give you the actual numbers?
Yes.
Well, I got to pull it up because I texted it to a friend of mine the other day and it cracked me up.
Your team is very good.
No, I know, Mr. President. I'm sure he's thrilled to hear this. Like, you're damn right. This guy dominates when I'm president.
I know what the hell I'm doing.
I gotcha. I got to find the numbers, but it's like so stupid because Corbin last year was being run out of baseball because of how terrible he was.
Yeah.
And then this year, it's like, why would anyone sign him? Well, guess what? Look who's president. That's why you sign him. For some reason, Patrick Corbin's like really, really good when Donald Trump is president. I can't explain it.
Juan Soto.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Well, also, it's his age.
No, no, no. Watch this. Okay. I'm going to. Tiki, let me just show you. Barack Obama's president, 4.14 ERA. Okay. Trump takes over, 3.59.
I love the Yankees.
Biden takes over, 5.71. Trump's back, 2.95. What the hell?
There was this big dump.
How do you make sense of that? So, like, Obama, 4 ERA, not the worst, but not good. Trump comes in, it drops by a half a run. Now Biden comes in, he's unpitchable, he's got a 6 ERA. Trump comes back, it's 2.95. He's throwing the best baseball of his career.
Seriously overweight.
Tommy saw this as an opportunity, and you took advantage of it.
They all fit somehow.
Isn't that crazy? I bring this up because Corbin's facing the Yankees tonight, but I got bad news for Yankee fans. Who's the president?
Mm.
Yeah, you're screwed. What can I tell you? Numbers don't lie. 6 scoreless tonight. Sorry, Sean.
No, it's all right. We'll score in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. No big deal.
There you go. Just hit that bullpen up. I brought up the Yankees only because their lineup changes on a nightly basis. There's a different leadoff hitter. Judge goes between 2 and 3. Mm. The Mets lineup has remained uniform this entire year when those guys have played, where it's Lindor, Soto, and Alonso. So with the offense struggling, if you want to try something, that's what you try.
Right.
I think everything else is like window dressing because no one really is hitting. And, like, there is no obvious answer on who should hit cleanup. Like, what's the answer? Brandon Nimmo, who's left a country on base this season?
There isn't really anybody that gives you... Oh, Vientos would be that, but... Do you trust him fully yet?
No!
That's still the question that's out on Vientos. It's kind of unfair because if he's that guy, just let him grow into that role. But you got to change it frequently if you're Mindy, obviously.
Welcome to Eastern Conference Finals Eve. Evan and Tiki will get you ready for Knicks Pacers Game 1 in a little bit more than 24 hours. Why the Knicks need to win an NBA championship right now. Plus, we got a brand new edition of Posted and Toasted coming up at 3:30 where Tiki guesses the old tweets of our fellow FAN co-workers. But last night, the New York Mets were center stage. No Yankees, no Knicks. And quite frankly, Juan Soto annoyed me when he grounded into a double play in the 3rd inning. When he didn't hustle on the ball off the Green Monster, I wasn't that annoyed because one play later, he stole second to make up for it. So I was more just annoyed by the Mets offense continuing to fumble the bag, 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position, a bad night from Francisco Lindor, a bad night from Brandon Nimmo, and yes, a bad night from Juan Soto. But I was annoyed by just that. But Juan Soto made a big, big mistake after the game. He lied to us.
Mm.
And I'm not saying he lied to us about being happy here or he really wants to be a Yankee or any of that fake crap that's out there. I'm talking about stuff that you can't deny. And to me, Juan Soto had a very bad Monday night, not because he went 1-for-4 and not because he bounced into a double play and not because he didn't run out of ball off the Green Monster, because he did the one thing you can't do to New York fans, and that's insult our intelligence. We'll walk you through it real quick. Obviously, Soto does not run out of ball off of the Green Monster, and Carlos Mendoza has the question asked to him, hey, 2 days in a row, Juan Soto hasn't hustled. Are you going to talk to him? Here's the full context of the question and the answer from the Mets manager.
Soto didn't bust it out of the box on that ball off the wall. Last night he had a play where he was a little slow getting out of it. Do you have to talk to him about any of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll talk to him about it. Tonight, obviously, someone gets a hold of one and knows when he gets it, he's one, you know. And he thought he had it, you know, but with the wind and all that. And in this ballpark, or you know, anywhere, but in particular in this one, with that wall right there, you got to get out of the box. So, we'll discuss that.
You got to get out of the box. Mm. We'll talk to him. That is not something you hear many managers say, by the way.
No,
most especially managers,
especially not for your superstars.
No, like what would have Aaron Boone said? You want to play that game? No, it's okay. It happens. It's baseball. Everything's great. Mendy called him out. So far, so good. I'm sure a lot of Met fans appreciated that. Now Juan Soto is asked basically the same question, and take a listen to the bulls on Soto on answering the question this way.
What happened there on that ball that you hit off the wall?
I hit it pretty hard. Really short green monster, but tried to get the second, but it wasn't enough.
Last couple of nights, you've had a couple of plays where you were slow getting out of the box. Is that something you have to be more aware of?
No. I think been hustling very hard. If you see it today, you can tell.
Juan, where have we seen you hustle?
Mm.
Like, don't think we're dumb. Don't think we're stupid. I'll actually defend your lack of hustle because I'll say, you know what? He thought it was gone, green monster, and he made up for it by stealing second base anyway. Like, I'd be the guy getting tomatoes thrown at me on sports talk radio because I would have downplayed it. I would have, honestly.
Yeah.
But you insulted all of our intelligence by saying, what are you talking about? I've been hustling. No, you haven't. So don't say something that isn't true,
yeah,
because that's going to tick off Met fans more than anything.
There is a part of Juan Soto's game that he hasn't fully utilized, and really until this year. Last year with the Yankees, he had 7 total stolen bases. This year, he already has 6.
Yes.
So he is running. And if he's going to generalize and say, I've been hustling, you could point to a statistic like that and say, yeah, he does hustle. He moves around the bases a little bit more than he previously has in his career. I think his career best is 12, and that was back when he was in San Diego. So he's likely going to eclipse that. So is he hustling? Sure, he's hustling. But I think what he misunderstood or at least took for granted was the specific question that was being asked of him. That is, a couple nights ago against the Yankees, tonight off the at least last night as given today off the Green Monster, were you hustling? And instead of saying what any normal person, not a star athlete, but any person would say, yeah, you know, I wasn't hustling. I got to be better than that. But you know what? I stole second base, so no harm, no foul.
Right.
Right. Make light of it. Put some levity into it. Have some charisma about it. And as opposed to blindly defending the indefensible. That's what he did. And unfortunately, you're going to get called when you lie directly like that. And so Juan Soto, despite being in the league now for this is his 8th season, he's still only 26 years old. And there is some learning, especially when it comes to dealing with New York media, that he's got to figure out. And he didn't have to do it last year because he was great.
Well, no tough questions were coming his way because he was great.
And Aaron Judge was the guy and won an MVP. Like, he didn't have to do it last year. He has to do it now.
Well, he has to do it because last year, and this has nothing to do with Yankees v. Mets or Judge being there or Judge not being here. It has to do with the fact that Juan Soto had a great year last year. So what tough question are you asking Juan Soto besides his contract?
Right.
Not asking him any tough questions.
Right.
It is completely fair game for Mike Puma to say, you haven't been hustling. Do you think you should change that? And there are many ways Juan could have answered that. He could have said, you know what? I thought it was out. And I wanted to make up for it so badly, I stole second base on the next pitch,
right,
which is true.
And it's funny because Mindy actually said that. Mindy said what Juan Soto should have said.
Yeah.
It was a hard hit ball. It looked like it was going out, but the wind brought it back in. Just say that.
Just or say anything.
Just say what you were actually doing. I thought I hit a home run.
Just what you can't do is say something that's not true. Because that's just going to annoy a lot of people. Like, that's not true. You can't say I've been hustling. You haven't. And to defend Juan Soto, and this is crazy, but I'll say it. Do you guys remember how in the 7th inning, Francisco Lindor came up with 2 on and 2 out, a 2-run game, and he swung at the first pitch against Justin Slayton, and he grounded out to second base? This was actually probably the biggest play of the game. Francisco Lindor didn't hustle either! Like, the reality is most guys don't. The only time we call it out is when it's obvious and you lose a chance at either an extra base or a base hit. So the reason Soto got called out from the Yankee game the other night was because it was a close play. It was a tough play for DJ LeMahieu. If you're running hard, maybe you beat it. The reason he's going to get called out for last night is because when a ball hits the fence and you end up on first base, even at Fenway Park and the Green Monster, it looks bad. So here's a news flash for everybody. Francisco Lindor, who we all love, he's the captain, he's great. He ain't above it either.
Mm.
Because I saw him lollygag in a first base too. And that's not my issue. My issue is don't tell me that it's raining when you you-know-whatting on my head. You haven't been hustling.
Now, was Lindor ask about it as well?
No, of course not. And you want to know why? Because it was a routine ground ball to second base, and it's a no-harm, no-foul situation, which is the case most of the time when guys don't hustle, which is why people could take it as I'm defending these guys. It's the truth.
Right.
The truth is most guys don't hustle, and we don't make a big deal out of it. We only make a big deal out of it when you could have had a hit or you should have had a double or, in the case of Soto, all of the above, and you're underperforming. When all of that gets combined, it becomes a bigger deal. But I think what the problem was last night was this media session was exactly what we played. You had a disconnect. You had the manager saying, I'm going to talk to him, and the player saying, there's no issue. Did that happen in your Giants career?
Not really. I mean, the only thing that would come close was the fumbling stuff, and people would always ask Coach Fossil, hey, you're going to talk to Tiki about fumbling? And Jim would say, well, he's my best player. What do you want me to say? He's got to play, type of thing. But, I mean, I got it. I heard it. I understood it. But I didn't lie about it. I didn't say, oh, I didn't fumble in that game. That was just the ball putting down too early.
Right.
Like, what could you lie about? So it's not one-to-one. Because in football, if you're not hustling, you're not playing. Period. Because you're hurting everybody. Baseball, you cannot hustle, and it doesn't really hurt anything sometimes. And I think Juan Soto is just not fully understanding that all we want from as a consumer and a fan base is just tell us the truth, right? Tell us what you don't have to defend yourself. Nobody's going to hate you because you tell somebody, you know what, I should have hustled more on that one. Like, we see it. Like, and when you tell us the opposite, now we think you're lying to us.
All of these issues come from not producing. Every single one of them.
100%.
The issue of he's not happy, the issue of he's not smiling, the issue of no Soto shuffle, the issue of he really still wants to be a Yankee, the issue of non-hustling. It all comes from the fact that in the third inning with two on and one out, he grounded into a double play.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. He is not producing. And so everything else comes from that. So the lack of hustle over the last two nights comes from the fact that he didn't get a big hit against the Yankees on Sunday night. He didn't get a big hit against the Red Sox last night. And so when things aren't going well, you're going to be asked about a million different things. And the one thing we don't want is you to BS us.
Right.
And again, most guys do not hustle on every ground ball. Most guys are not hustling on every fly ball that they think is out. In fact, it's common practice not to.
Mm.
Like, I think of Met history. I'll stick it to the Mets here. And I think of all the great players that they had. Mike Piazza, I give him so much credit because he was a catcher too, ran every ball out.
Hmm.
I noticed it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I love David Wright. I wore his jersey Sunday night to the game. I'm so excited to see his number retired. David Wright did not run every ball out. Let's not play this game of pretend now. That wasn't the case. And I don't hold it against him, Teek. I'm not saying this to rip him. I'm saying it because this is the truth. It becomes a big deal when you're not performing. It becomes a big deal when you cost yourself a base, and it becomes a big deal when you lie to us after games.
Yeah,
don't lie, just be honest.
Yeah, and I think, look, he's going to learn this. Like, he's still young. I think there's a bigger issue here, and it goes back to Juan Soto's history. So he came up when he was 19 years old. I mean, he was a kid. And a year later in Washington, they win the World Series. And he was one of the best players on that team. He wasn't the best player. Evan and I looked this up before the show started. He was really good, but he wasn't, like, the man.
Yeah, Anthony Rendon, believe it or not,
was the man. Yeah. Ryan Zimmerman was the man, Wahoo, UVA guy. But so he wasn't the guy when he was, becoming a star. Then he goes, and then he has a bad year. Then he goes to San Diego, has another bad year. But in San Diego, even though he was Juan Soto, he wasn't the man there, right? It was Manny Machado. He gets traded to the Yankees. He comes to he's not the man with the Yankees. And by man, I mean the leader, the unquestioned guy who everybody is looking to be elite. That's clearly Aaron Judge. And it was the MVP season last year. Soto was great from start to finish, but he wasn't the man. Now he comes to the Mets on a massive free agent contract. And he's not also the man, but he's paid to be the man.
Right.
And so there's this ascension to leadership that needs to occur with Juan Soto. and he's not there yet. And that part of it's because he's still young. He's 26 years old. He'll be 27 at the end of the season in October, but he's still young and hasn't had experience being the actual leader. I think it's one of the great benefits of Aaron Judge's career is that for a lot of his, you know, probably 4 years in or 5 years in, he was the guy. He was the leader. He was ultimately headed towards being the captain. Juan Soto's not a captain.
No, I don't think he needs to be, though.
I'm not saying he needs to be, but I'm saying he's paid to be. And so when he's paid to be and the expectation that he is a leader, maybe not the leader, that's where I see a disconnect.
Well,
he's never had to do it. With all the success he's had, all the money that he's made, he's never had to be the leader. But when you're paid like Juan Soto and your name has been blown up and overhyped like Juan Soto, maybe not overhyped because it's just whatever, it's hyped like Juan Soto's name is, you're going to get asked questions like you're the leader.
Right.
And when you are, you can't BS us.
Yeah.
If you're just some bit player, you can be, if you're Brett Beatty right now, someone asks you a question about hustling, you can lie. We'll be like, all right, whatever. You're Brett. We'll probably be down in the minors by the end of the season. Who cares? But when you're Juan Soto, you can't BS that responsibility.
Right, but remember
that's
this.
What he's doing.
The difference between, I think, a leader of a team, which he's not, and just being a star on the team is the questions directed at Juan Soto are about Juan Soto. They're not about Pete Alonso's issues throwing out of the pitcher covering first.
Right.
It's not about anything else. It's about him. And so what he's paid to do is put up massive numbers.
Yeah, but it's
that's
also,
it. He's got to produce.
Yeah, but it's also by example. Like the example you make by being accountable is so important when you're paid like he's paid. And I can't help but talk about what you're, because when you get paid as much as he's paid, $70 million a year by far, by double almost, the next paid, highest paid guy on this team, there is a responsibility for you to be accountable and to be good.
Mm.
And right now he's not being either of those. And that's where this disconnect with the fan base is starting to become real.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.